Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
And welcome online. So glad everybody's here. It's the reason for the season, right? Everybody ready for Christmas? Well, it's coming whether you like it or not. How's that? If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. We had a great study on Wednesday night. What did we talk about on Wednesday?
Trust.
That's right, Walker. And we used an example of a great man of God, a king in Israel that many revere as the greatest king of all. And myself, I am included in that. King David, second king of Israel after Saul. And we talked about how David trusted the Lord. We used three different instances, those of you that know the life of David. The first one, he was a young man. He was a ruddy young boy, keeper of the sheep. He was the son of Jesse, who was the son of Obed. And he was tending to the flock when a Philistine named Goliath set a battle in array against Israel. And basically for 40 days went out and called out Israel and said, listen, you send out your best man. I'm over 9 foot tall, and I've been a warrior my whole entire life. Send out your best man. If he beats me, we'll serve you. When I beat him, you're going to serve us. And this went on, like I said, for 40 days. And David is going to bring food to his brothers who are there listening to this Philistine challenge them. And David is dumbfounded, I guess I should say, at how this Goliath is speaking to Israel, to God's people. And long story short, David says, I'll fight him. I'll go against him. Everybody didn't think he'd do it. His brothers didn't think he could do it. The king at the time, Saul, said, take my armor. David said, I'm not going to trust in your armor. I got something else I'm going to trust in. What did he decide he was going to trust in? He was going to trust the Lord, didn't he? If you look in the book of Psalms and David's writings, I think David talked more about trusting the Lord than anybody that I know of. He really, really trusted the Lord. He has the testimony in the book of Acts that he was a man after God's own heart who would do all of God's will. And so David wouldn't put on Saul's armor. He took a sling and 5 smooth stones. And the thing where he really trusted the Lord was he had an experience when he was tending to the sheep. A bear and a lion came to take, and did take, one of the sheep. David went and caught it by the beard, took the sheep back from it, and he told the giant Goliath that you're going to be no different than that bear and that lion. And what did he say that sticks out more than anything else in that situation? There you go, Jen. The battle is the Lord's. In other words, he didn't trust in himself. He didn't trust in his ability. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the experience that God had given him. And sure enough, it paid off for him, didn't he? He slew the giant, cut his head off. And then the second thing we looked at 3 instances specifically with David, which there's many, many more. But there was a night when David was on top of his housetop, on the rooftop, and Israel was at war. David had stayed home, and he goes out and looks over the city, and he sees a woman bathing, as we know, Bathsheba. And he sends somebody to go get her. He took another man's wife. And from that hookup, she conceived. And David, when he saw what had taken place, Uriah is Bathsheba's husband. He's at the battle, and to cover himself, David says, bring Uriah over here into the battle and put him in the hottest part of the battle. Before he did that, he tried to get him to come back and sleep with his wife. Uriah was a man of honor, though. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't go and stay the night with his wife. He stayed outside of the city, outside the wall, and a very, very honorable man. Wouldn't go in, so that didn't work for David. What's he do next? He sends him to the hottest part of the battle. And sure enough, Uriah gets killed. And we read it this last week, and you can go back and read it yourself. God sent a prophet named Nathan to David, and he tells him a parable about a man that had a little ewe lamb, very precious to him, was like one of his children, even slept in his own bed with him. And Nathan tells David this parable. David gets very upset that somebody would take another man's something so precious to him, this lamb, and he basically pronounced judgment upon himself. Do you remember what he said? Very angry, Daryl. He said, this man's going to pay fourfold, whoever did it. And the words still ring out, I guarantee, in David's head. What did Nathan say? Thou art the man. You are the one that has done this. And the parable was speaking about what he did with Bathsheba, taking her from Uriah. Now, judgment that was pronounced, David said, I sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, you're not going to die, but the baby is. And that was the judgment. The child that had been conceived in this adulterous situation didn't make it. But what did David say? Immediately, unlike his predecessor, Saul, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. I'm going to trust you, God. What did Saul say? The people made me do it. Actually, before that, he said, I've done what I was supposed to do. Samuel the prophet went to him and said, hey, you didn't do what the Lord instructed you to do. Yeah, I did. Well, then what's the bleating of these sheep I hear in my ears? Well, the people. Pass the buck, not David. David always, this is what stands out so much about David. He always put his trust in the Lord. He put himself, his salvation in the hands of the Lord and basically owned up to everything. And then what was the last thing that we studied on Wednesday night in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter? There was a day when Satan rose up and tempted David, and David numbered the children of Israel. He was concerned about a battle he was getting ready to go into, and his servant Joab is like, because he sent Joab, go number the children of Israel. I want to know, Walker, what did you say had taken place there with Joab? Joab told David, don't do it. But you mentioned on Wednesday night that David had a thought that he knew better, that he needed to number them children of Israel. And he didn't even number all of them. He got most of them and said, that's enough. In my opinion, and many others, this was David's greatest sin. And what did David say when the Lord called him out for numbering the children of Israel? I give you three options here. Go read them. I'll give you three options. You can be in the hands of your enemy. It was like 3 years, 3 months for the other one. Or the angel of the Lord is going to fight against you for 3 days. It was no time. 70,000 Israelites were slain by the destroying angel. And David cried out to God. And God said, that's enough. Let's stop it. But each time he said, don't put me in the hands of my enemies. Don't do this. I'm going to trust you. You put me in your hand. You pronounce the judgment. And so what a great example of a tremendous man of God that seriously trusted the Lord. Amen? We have some individuals in this church here today. I'm going to get that microphone going around here in a little bit because I haven't heard some stories in a long time. Carrie, you're the only lady here that moved from Arizona. Merle's at home. Sharon's out of town. We'll have you tell that. We haven't heard it in a little bit. We haven't heard these stories for a little bit. But I'm going to read here in Ephesians, the first chapter, and there's a bit of an order that takes place here that I hope that you can apply to yourself and you can see how you have trusted the Lord yourself here today. We got somebody that moved from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tim's wife, Jen. Now let's go over here to Ephesians, the first chapter. Paul's writings to the church in Ephesus. Paul is talking about our spiritual blessings in Christ and going down and talking about God's will, that he has purpose in his will. And let's go to verse 10. Paul said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Talking about God. What's God doing? Still doing it today. He's gathering all things together in Christ. Now watch where he's doing this at. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So why are you here today? Because God called you, because he's drawn you, because he's still working his will, he's still working his purpose. He's gathering all things that are his into Christ. It says, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. How many of you believe that you are predestined for God's purpose? Do you trust that? I got a question for you. How do you know you're trusting God? How do you know that you have trusted God in the past? How are you going to secure in your mind that you're going to trust God forever? Daryl, you raised your hand. Because you have peace. It's a manifestation. Carrie tapped her chest and said, that's me too. Because you have peace. Now, that is a manifestation. I'm looking for an action. Let me read this order to you, and I bet you get it, okay? Where do we leave off in 11? That's what we'll read. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So who trusted first, Walker? The apostles. He said in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Then after the apostles trusted, what did they start to do? Huh? Believe? Did they preach? Did they begin to preach the gospel of our salvation? And then he said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, there's another place that this order takes place. Romans, the 10th chapter. You remember what Paul said? How shall you believe in him you have not heard? How shall you hear without a preacher? And how shall you preach except you be sent? So what is the first thing that has to take place? There has to be a word that goes forth. That is the gospel of your salvation. You hear that word. Then what do? You believe it. And after you believe, you trust. But again, here's my question to you. How do you know that you have trusted God, that you are trusting him right now, and that you are going to trust him all the way throughout eternity? Let me ask you again. Has the word of the gospel, the word of truth, come to you and you have heard it? Tim, I want you, I haven't heard the story in a long time. I want you to tell us again. We'll go in order here in a little bit. We'll get all of you going. When you went to the YMCA and you heard. You remember? Okay. The first time you heard. Walker, you remember what happened to you as a young boy in Chicago? I want you to tell that. Carrie, I want you to tell. But I'll guarantee you, if I open it up, pretty much, I hope, every single person can go back and say, I remember when I heard, and I believed, and I trusted. And I haven't gave you the answer yet, but there's an action that comes proving that you trust. Go with me to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Because the apostle said, we trusted first, right? You trusted after you heard us. You trusted after you heard and saw us trust. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Let me see where we're going to read at. Now, this is a chapter where the rich young ruler went to Jesus. And he had a question, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? We know the story's been preached many times. Jesus told him, keep the commandments. I've kept them, every one you just said to me. He said, okay, then come, go sell what you have, Give it to the poor. What do you say, Walker? Take up your cross. Come follow me. Uh-oh. What did I just say? Did I give you the answer right now? Let's go down here and prove it to you a little bit. So you know right now, if you heard a word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, did you follow? That's how you know that you trusted God, that you are. And listen, it's not a one-time thing, because you're going to hear a lot of words throughout your lifetime. You're going to hear truth. Walker and I had a great conversation yesterday. We got together, and the main topic of our conversation with Walker was about being led by the Spirit, huh? So here's the deal. If God in his will is willing to lead us, they that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. If God is looking on a daily basis to lead you, then what do you need to be able to do? Follow the lead. Play a little game of follow the leader for your whole life, huh? These disciples did that very thing. The rich young ruler couldn't do it. Why? He had a lot of riches. When Jesus told him that, Walker, he walked away sorrowful. Couldn't do it. Something as simple as following a word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, following all the way into eternity. Listen to this. Because the disciples, after they saw what took place, they had a question for Jesus. Let me see here. Jesus talks about it's easier to go through an eye of a needle, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? You hear that? He couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. I think Christy mentioned this morning, or was it you, Jennifer, that there are things that are impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. Verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. You can't save yourself, Walker. God has to do it. This is with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now notice, when that young ruler, that rich man, went to Jesus, think real close what his first question was. What must I? That's right, Jennifer. What must I do? What did Jesus tell him? Let's just summarize it. You can't do it. Follow me. He said, I'll do it. I've got you here. I'll take care of it. The only thing you have to do is hear what I'm saying to you right now. Follow. In other words, what did he tell him he had to do? You got to trust me. You got to trust my words. How many of you are trusting the words of the ministry of this church that God has sent? How many of you are trusting the presbytery, the elders, and the deacons, and the word that's going forth? I see you shaking your head, yes. How do I know that you're telling me the truth right now? Because you're following. You're here today. You're following. You're at every Bible study. You're reading your Bible at home by yourself. You support the church. You support what we're doing with your prayers, financially, your presence, all these things. You're saying to me, Walker, I'm all in. But where did it start at? God sending a word. He sent a word. You heard it. You believed that word. You trusted in it. And you follow. You see the order I'm talking about? All things are possible with God. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now, there's something very interesting about these apostles. Had somebody told them that there was a Messiah coming? Perhaps they read, what did they have back then? The Old Testament? The Torah? The Law and the Prophets? Maybe they read some stuff about that. But more than likely, there was talk that there was a prophecy of a Messiah coming. And they heard. Were they believing that Jesus was coming? Absolutely. Were they looking for him, Daryl? Absolutely. When he came and began to speak, did they hear, believe, trust, and follow? Now, you may not follow like this, because they're getting ready to tell you, we forsook all. We gave up everything to follow you. And see, I'm talking about trust here. So first of all, they had to hear that he was coming. They had to hear him when he spoke. They had to believe that those things were true. And then they trusted and said, we have heard you. We believe. We trust. We're willing to forsake all and give up everything to follow you, because you have. And they said it in another place. Jesus asked them, are you gonna go away? John, the sixth chapter. You're going to leave like the rest of these disciples did? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. See, they were trusting the Lord, weren't they? And so, like, as soon as they heard and they believed, they didn't have any more problems. I mean, life was peaches and cream, wasn't it? No. No. There were things to endure. There were things to suffer. There were things that they had to go through. But they had a made-up mind, did they not? That's why at times I've had individuals come to me for counsel, and they're struggling, and they got problems. And I'll let them tell me their problems, let them share all their weaknesses. And how many of you know what I do? Because I've done it with most all of you here. I listen patiently, and I let you finish. And then I remind you of the last thing God said to you and put you right back in the place where God had you going, because we got to get back in and be led of the Spirit and follow what he's given to us. And it happens to everybody. No shame here. No error, no foul. I'm not telling you don't come and talk to me. Don't share your problems or your weaknesses. Do that. But know of a surety, I'm going to put you back on the path. I'm going to get you back where you're following that last thing the Lord has spoken to you. And what happens, Walker, when you follow what the Lord speaks to you? You begin to be led by the Spirit. So what does he do next? Gives you another word to follow. He keeps leading you by his Spirit, by his presence, by his word. And how many of you have settled in your heart this is going to go on throughout your whole life? Because what I was going to finish with is, when I talk to the people and remind them of the last thing God said to them, I also give them a little bit of advice. Some of you are smiling. Some of you know exactly what I'm getting ready to say. What is it, Daryl? No matter what you do, don't leave. If you don't leave, you're going to keep hearing. If you don't leave, that means you're following. That means you're still trusting the Lord. You can't miss out if you don't leave. If you don't quit. Okay, don't quit. We're talking about your eternal soul here. We're talking about salvation, eternity. Very, very, very important things we're talking about here today. Now, Peter said, we've forsaken all. We've followed you. What shall we have therefore? Now, Jesus is going to tell them something. But are they going to have to believe him and trust to come to what he says you're going to get? Because they're not seeing it right here. Watch, I'll read it to you. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Anybody here ever done any of those things? Maybe not all of them. Jim, bring that microphone up here to Carrie first. You've forsaken a couple things here, Carrie, in this physical life. Now, after you share that, I want you to share with me what you have forsaken and left in your heart. Ah, a little bit harder, huh? Look at Walker and Tim's like, thank you. A little bit of hint, a little bit of time ahead. Okay, go, Carrie. Tell us about you moving here.
So I'd been hearing for a while the messages on tape. I had heard something that, I had reached out to you, Brian, years ago, 99, and I had cried out to you about, a situation, And you shared with me that I wasn't thinking right, basically, and you kind of got me interested. You talked to me about speaking in tongues is not really what, you know, that's what I believed in with my whole heart. So basically, I said, okay, I'm open to hear what you have to say. So I opened myself up to listen, and Daryl sent me all these tapes, and I just started listening to tapes, and got to a point where I was even having a Bible study in my house listening to these tapes. I gathered people together, and then there was an opportunity for me to go to Chicago. It was a conference, and I went, and it was just, I heard, it was the word of the Lord, and it was so powerful, and I knew I needed to be with this church, with you, here, hearing the word of God in person. It was such a tug on my heart. I just knew it, and I went home, and it wasn't long, and I just started gathering things together. I mean, I got a brand new house I just bought, and I was going to lose a big bunch of money on it, but it was, you know, it's what it was. But I knew, I mean, I had children, I had grandchildren, and I just said, God, they're yours. I knew I needed him in my life, and I was, in my heart, I felt like I was going to die if I stayed in Phoenix. Not physically, but it was just a death to me there, and I needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I just picked up and moved and trusted in God, and I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything, but I trusted God.
Yep, and you came and moved in with us for a short period of time, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
So, Carrie, here, just the physical realm, it says if you've left mother or houses,
yeah.
Both of those, huh?
Yep.
Now take it to the next step. What within you did you forsake and leave behind?
My desires for taking care of my family, I felt like that was the only thing that
that's
I
physical.
Could do. Well, I had to leave it all. Okay, so I don't know, Brian. So I left.
You already said it. You said it in your testimony. How many of you heard her?
Yeah. Okay.
She started off with it. What'd she say?
I don't know how.
Huh? She said, I wasn't thinking right. Carrie, have you forsaken and left some of those thoughts?
Yes.
That weren't right?
That's for sure.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. That's the testimony. God is changing you continually because you're following. You heard, you believe. You trusted, you followed him even all the way out here from Arizona. Mm-hmm. So did your mother, and so did your sister.
Yes.
And I want to hear you say it, because I said it to you. But what are you forsaking?
My thoughts, Brian.
There you go. Are you making a trade with God,
yes.
Giving him them old thoughts and getting
Amen.
Some new ones?
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away.
Yes, sir.
Behold, all things become new, huh?
Yes.
That's awesome, Carrie. Best choice you ever made in your life. Sorry, Tristan. Tim, we'll let Walker go last. You're up, Tim.
Mic check. So I think what you're after is when I first came to hear this this word, we were still at the Crestwood School.
Crestwood.
At the Crestwood School. And I was not going to church, never really been to church, didn't know anything about God. I just came because someone invited me. But I heard the word spoken, and I knew it was truth. Nobody needed to convince me, hey, go to church to be saved, or you're a bad person, you need God. None of that. I heard the word. I knew it. God spoke to me. I knew it was truth. I knew what I was hearing was more than just a church. It was something that my spirit had been looking for since the beginning, bro.
Your whole life.
And I found it. And the Lord found me. The Lord called me in it.
That's awesome.
I heard the word. I knew it was truth. I knew, and with that understanding came accountability that I could never leave this word. As long as I was in a good mind in this life, I could not leave this word, and that was the accountability God put on me when the first few times I was at church here, I knew it was truth, and I knew I couldn't leave it. If I did, I'd be going against, I don't know if it would be a commandment, but an understanding I had in God. I knew better, in other words.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And wasn't the message you heard that day along the lines of we were talking about the Pharisees?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. That's interesting, because weren't you recently tempted to move away?
Oh, yeah.
Did you remember your covenant you made with the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
What did you tell me what you would be if you would have left? You told me you'd have been a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah. That's what that Isn't word.
Isn't that what Jesus said those Pharisees were?
Yeah.
So the word you heard still stays and rings true
yeah.
to this day.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because it was about the hypocrisy in the heart. Not the things you do, but the hypocrisy that works in the way you think.
Yeah.
And it works into actions, but because that word on the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you highlighted the hypocrisy that works in them. They say and do not, and in my mind, I never heard the Bible stories about any of that, but the teaching could bear witness with the way we think, because in my mind, I was like, wow, we do that. I've done that before. I've said one thing and do another, and it's actually a story in the Bible. There's much greater meaning than just a physical timeline of something that happened to people thousands of years ago. That story existed in me, and I could bear witness of it.
Did you hear that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So not only did you do things here, there was a work done within.
Yep.
And there still is.
There still is.
That's awesome,
too. So in me, God bear witness of thoughts, of testimonies, of the story of God. It was in me, and I didn't know it until that day.
So you forsook all your thoughts, and you forsook that old man,
yep.
and you begin to walk in the new man and follow the Lord.
Totally changed, bro. You could look at the outward appearance of, I didn't go to church, and now I do. I didn't pay tithes, now I do. You could look at the outward of all that, but the baseline thing is that I call it the culture of thought, but my culture, the way I think, my mind, mm-hmm. is different. My yep. priorities are different. I don't, it's just, I think differently.
How many of you can say that and have that testimony that I'm different since I first believed? And he said it many times, just like Paul said it. He heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's awesome, Tim.
Amen.
Walker Next Gen, we haven't heard yours in a little while. After Walker, you can tell us. We'll make it brief, but good. Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, for me, you know, I always grew up in this church. I've always been under you. I've always been in the Sunday school and everything here. And it wasn't that I wasn't in unbelief. I just didn't understand what I was hearing or understand how important it was. And there was a conference that I went to when I was 14 years old where I sat in the main room with...
Yeah, you said you didn't want to go.
I didn't want to go, and she made me go. It's true. And I was sitting in the main room, and Pastor Keith got up and preached a message. And it was, all you need is one word of God to get to heaven.
Mm.
And when he preached it, I heard it different. I believed it, what he was saying. I believed it was the word of God. And like I said, it's not like I was in unbelief before, but it changed the way I thought immediately. I was like, this is real. This is not just people speaking. This is something I need to give my life to. This is something that it's like the answer to everything I've been looking for in my life. This is it. So I decided in that moment after I believed it, I was going to give my life to it. And I didn't really understand things I would have to forsake. I know, like Carrie said, she forsook where she was at. I was never in a place of turmoil in my life or anything, but it was after I began to follow that, then things began to get manifested, and I realized, okay, then the way I thought, my desires, things that, like, desire to be great, whatever it was, then there was the opportunity to forsake those things and continually follow the Lord. But when I believed that word, just like you said, I began to follow immediately. And
that's awesome.
Never looked back a day in my life.
And so you've forsaken the thoughts of being great and all those things, desiring to be worshipped and accolades, all that, to follow the Lord. That's awesome. Now we're going to have to get another witness in on this real quick. Brittany, has he forsaken the gaming? When Walker first went to Chicago, his passion, his love, Julie, how many hours would he be on that gaming? What was the game called, Walker? Well, three screens, playing games with people around the world. Oh, see? Brittany said he went from three screens to only has two now. So he's work in progress, right? But this is something cool. Brittany's kind of quiet, and everybody may not know this, but the reason she's here is because Walker preached the gospel to her, and she believed it, and she has followed, and she's trusting the Lord. And now they're getting ready to bring a second soul into this life. that they're going to teach and preach and speak the gospel to, the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. We had two babies born in Chicago this last week. We had one born last night, Haven Joy, 9 pounds, 4 ounces to Robert and Ashley. That's right, Robert and Ashley, Mike's children and Jennifer's children. So God's going to grow the church one soul at a time if we have to do it that way, right? That's an awesome testimony. Would you, somebody hand a microphone to Jen Gowett? We could do this with everybody here because you're here. You follow. You're here today. You're trusting the Lord. You've heard something, and you should be prepared. I'm going to prepare you for something. To hear the word of truth continually, sometimes every day, and just be faithful in that word. Follow, trust the Lord, and he will be faithful to give you more. Jen?
Yeah, so to start the whole thing off, I heard a word from you, Pastor Brian, that actually brought me here, but I assume you want me to talk about the more recent one.
No, I was thinking about the beginning, but you do whatever you is in your heart right now.
I can go either way. Yeah, no, I lived in Minnesota.
Do them both.
I'll go quick and do both. Yeah, I was living in Minnesota at the time with my daughter, and I had completely walked away from God and the church, was raised in religion, and went through some real serious hurt and abuse by the church. So I had walked away. I was very mad at God and didn't want anything to do with it. And I met Tim Gowett through some friends that introduced us, and we started talking, and he talked to me about God. He shared his thoughts on God and just the love of God. He just loved me, and he didn't judge me and none of that, but he spoke the word of truth. And I started listening to the messages online, and there was one in particular where Pastor Brian was preaching, and I emailed him afterwards, and I said, man, that was for me. Like, if I didn't know better, I would swear Tim told you my whole story and told you to preach it that Sunday. And I just knew it was true. I knew it was God, and it my soul rejoiced. I know that sounds like a funny way to say it, but, like, my soul knew it was true. The truth in me heard it and recognized it, and I packed up my little baby, and Tim Gowett came and picked us up and loaded up the truck and trailer and moved us here, and here we are.
I got a picture. It's such a precious picture. Sophie and Jade are drinking out of two separate straws out of the same cup, and they're about this big.
Little bitty.
Just little bitty girls. Oh. And were you going to tell the other one?
I can, yeah.
Oh, wait, before you do, when you were talking about that, how you got introduced to Tim, you know what it reminded me of, Tim? Didn't that prophet have an ass speak to him?
Wait, who's the ass in this story?
So a friend of yours introduced you to Tim. God can use anything to get his will. I think it was Bubba, wasn't it, Tim?
It was Bubba.
Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, and more recently, I don't know, probably 5 years ago, God did come and ask me to forsake a way of thought. This is why I was thinking that's what you were talking about. He came to me. There was some things that were manifested about the way I was thinking about God. And the truth came again through my husband and showed me that the way I was thinking about the Lord and everything about it was wrong. And there was some repentance that worked. There was the thought, like you were saying with David, Lord, I have sinned against you. I have messed up so bad in the way that I was thinking about you and the truth. And the truth come and began to change my thought, began to change the way that I thought about God and knew God and everything in my mind.
You know what's awesome about this as I'm listening to you? You testified some things that happened to you. You were abused by the church and religion, and you began to hate God. You said it out of your own mouth.
Yeah.
That thought was so hid that when this second testimony you just gave us took place, you thought what was going on was love, and God showed you it was hate.
Yeah, absolutely.
He went and got that deep, deep hatred down there that you was discerning totally the opposite. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love it. And we could do this all day long if we wanted to. But here's my closing statement, okay? Continue to hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Follow this order of believing, hearing, believing, trusting, and follow. You do that, and I promise you, God will show himself faithful to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. Walker, you will learn his voice, and you will be led by the Spirit, And your reward, what you'll get out of that, is you will be a son of God. You will be in the family of God. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you. I appreciate you.